total always, right? This is a non-contender, right? Please. What about Wonder Plum? All right, let's consider Wonder Plum for just a moment. It says broke stride at the quarter, right? Okay, that's an excuse. Except it's not. The reason it's not is that the what you wanted here was a horse that could be up close at the stretch call, barring excuses, right? In its last race? In this particular race, where is the quarter mile? No, it's not the stretch call. In this previous race? It's not the stretch call. Stretch call is at an eighth of a mile. But where is the quarter mile? Look at Wonder Plum's running line. Wonder Plum is third by 2.5 after half a mile. Then he drops back 4 positions and 2 lengths to 7 by 5.5, right? Where was the quarter mile in there? Yeah, where is the quarter mile? Where does it occur in that horse's running line? Just trying to speculate, just trying to look at it and visualize where this horse broke stride before you give me too many excuses. What's the final fraction in a mile and 16th race? 5/16, right? Is that more than a quarter mile or less? It's more, right? This horse had already dropped back to that position before he broke stride. Where do you think he'd have been at the stretch call if he hadn't broke stride? Almost as far back, probably. See, visualize that before you excuse this race, visualize what was happening to that horse. He was fairly close, and then all of a sudden he went into reverse before he ever broke stride. He broke stride while he was stopping. That's not an excusable race. As far as the finishing position of the horse, you might look at it and say, well, he'd been closer. He might have been closer. The point is, the trouble happened after he'd already gone to a walk. It's an important distinction. Because if you don't make that distinction, you look at his previous race, and in his previous race, you could give him up close at the stretch call because it was a mile and a quarter. And it was somewhere between the actual stretch call and back to the second call that race. Everybody see that? Okay, that horse was going to a walk before it encountered its trouble. So as far as the contender guidelines we looked at, this horse doesn't fit. Does the horse basically have the talent to win a $10,000 race? Yes, he does. Does he have the talent to go a mile and 3/16? Probably. What about the last race now? Can you get past that race now or not? You really can't. It will take a form reversal. Not that it doesn't happen, and especially at this level. Not that it doesn't happen. But the point is that this horse is not a viable... If we go through and finish and throw out everybody in this race, then you have to go back and say, well, maybe Wonder Plum, it's like Hand Secret. I mean, then anybody can win, and you look for horses that are better than the rest of the field. But he doesn't. That excuse is not viable. Anybody want to argue that? I don't argue with him. Maybe that's a bad choice. Wonder Plum. What about Bullride's Equal? He is. Okay, but let's cover that in a second, okay, because that's a good observation. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Is he, first of all, based on the contender guidelines that we've looked at, see, you may not always, the track profile is something you ought to have, but a lot of people don't have that, right? So as far as these guidelines that we're talking about right now, does this horse qualify? You got it. Is he good enough to win a $10,000 claiming race at Hollywood Park? It's that's up in the air, but, you know, if he ran second, he could probably win. But his maiden win at Stockton had a maiden 12-5 for Cowbreds, wasn't it? There isn't anything lower than that. Mules do that. I mean, that is really low. So whether he can beat this field in any field of $10,000 horses is still debatable. But the point is that he fits the contender guidelines. Now, the point that Bill made is really good. What kind of horse are you looking for here? Two-turn race, right? This is a mile 16, 3/16, so they're going even a little further than these other races. This is not the kind of horse you're looking for. All right? As far as meeting the contender guidelines and being part of the pace in the race, Bullride's Equal is somewhat of a contender, but he is not a play for you. Because if he's a play for you, you're going against what we established as a 90% probability. Isn't that what it was? 90% of the time, The closers will win this race right now at Hollywood Park. So bullseyes equal. You know, you don't want to be in that 10% camp.
What about Ancient Blue? Let's answer the basic question. Can he beat a $10,000 field? And the answer is yes to that.
Anybody can beat a $10,000 field. So that's a non-issue here. Let's take a look at his performances.
His last race. It does not fit the guidelines, but he's got an excuse of a rough start, right? Look at his previous race. Does not fit the guidelines, has the excuse of a rough start. Broke slowly. His previous race, he actually does fit the guidelines. He's 4 3/4 lengths behind at the second call and in a route that's close enough.
Yeah, the probabilities are that he'll run one of those other races. Guess who causes the rough start? Probably Ancient Blue, right? The point is, he fits a fairly loose... Yes? That's from the finish. All the polls are from the finish. Right. That's 5/16 from the finish line. Okay. So that is somewhere between... I'm sorry, what? What, 5/16? No. Oh, I'm sorry. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. Yes. I thought you said this race was at 6 furlongs. I said he's never been in a sprint in his life. Yeah.
And in that one, he was checked, and then he overcame part of that to get up so that he was within hailing range.
Now, the problem is, what pace line do you choose? You choose that third race if you're going to do him, right? What good does that do you? Okay, he's just a bad horse. He's been dull at all calls. He causes his own problems. Okay.
As far as the drill is concerned, if you were going to excuse the last two, which would be excusable, you could go to the third.
But when you go to the third, he still stinks. So your window's three races wide and he's still no good.
What about Legal Tender?
All right, let's talk about him for a minute.
Legal Tender.
All right, he's dropping from 12.5 to 10, which is a very important drop on this circuit. Okay, so that's a good drop. He looks like he has to drop, doesn't he? He's not very attractive at 12.5.
He fits the guidelines that we just talked about.
He was up close to the second call and the stretch call against Better. He's a contender.
Him and Marlon Brando, huh? Which pace line would you use?
There's no reason to go beyond the last one. None at all. So use his last race as a contender in this race. Pardon?
And that's a positive, too.
April 20, yeah, he ran in April 28th. He's back in 7 days. That's a positive. With some of these lower horses, I mean, if they can get him back in 7 days, I mean, that in itself is kind of a miracle. So.
What about Niak here? Can he win at 10? Certainly he can. Let's look at his last race. Okay. It's a good race. He meets the criteria because he was up close at the finish, which is more important than the stretch call. The stretch call is the minimum. In this case, he's at the finish. He's a length behind. He's 5 wide into the stretch, which is significant trouble. If you wanted to excuse that race and go back one more, you could, except look what you get.
And to go back beyond the second race back doesn't make any sense because they had no excuses listed. So it's his last race, right? Everybody together on this? I mean, are you having any trouble with it? Any trouble with the philosophy behind it?
Oh, the 16?
Yeah, it's kind of an excuse, but he was not close at any single call in the race. He ran so badly, I wouldn't excuse him. Now, with a two-level difference, 16 versus 10, I would consider that to be an excuse, yes.
And I think I looked beyond that. Yeah, what about his previous race?
Stretch runners are always wide at the 3/8 practically, so, I mean, you can't give him a major excuse for that one. So the point you made in earlier
about looking for excuses? You really don't. You just take them as they come. And like on him, if you were to excuse the last two races and go back one more, you were looking for excuses to do that. Niek's last race speaks for itself. What about infinite magic here? Let's talk about that. You're right about that. In fact, I'm sure they want to drop him off of the First Interstate building or something. He does need to drop. You're right. But is this a positive or a negative drop on his part? All right, let's take a look. How much did they pay for this horse on March 31st? 16, right? And he goes to a trainer that's pretty highly regarded. He's having a terrible two seasons, but he's a trainer that's fairly high regarded, right? Mike Mitchell. What's his odds at 20? 65 to 1. I mean, nobody has any regard for this horse. So he claims him for 16, runs him once for 20, in which he's dismally beaten, right? Hopelessly beaten. Now he's willing to take a $6,000 loss on this guy after one try at the higher level. That's a negative. Now, occasionally they'll win out here, but they'll still have taken their loss, so it wasn't a positive on anybody's part. Now, what line would you take? The last line. I'm in the previous line. Then you're into sprints. You know, I mean, you're kind of locked into this horse. This horse is in hopeless form at the moment. Okay? Yep. Michael might go back, take the minute. And occasionally, horses, I mean, the frustrating thing for all of us, the first position in a race like this is when you're making a lot of close calls and you wind up, the only contenders you got may be bad horses themselves, right? So a horse like Infinite Magic or somebody like that wins, and then you have second thoughts about what you did. Don't. Just continue to play on. Just make sure you got all the right ideas and you're applying them reasonably well. And just take your losses when they come, because these are tough races. What about Gray Rider? This is clearly a contender here, isn't it? In its last race, it's a mile and 16th, four wide, and yet it's a very good race. The race before that, a mile and a quarter, which is also a powerful win for the horse. If you have figures or a computer that would handle the second race back, you can excuse the last one. Four wide is wide enough. If you don't, you take the last race, which is also representative. Anybody have any problems with that one? No, but that's a definite contender here. And the running style is right. What about pass another tab? All right, let's take a look at the drop first. Okay, is this drop positive or negative? Well, it is positive. I mean, in terms of looking at it and saying, does this horse need easier? The question is, yeah, it does. The negative side of this, there is a negative to all of this, but it's not quite in the definition of the positive-negative that we talked about earlier. The negative side of this, and I said that we'd get beyond just the superficial positive-negative, is you look at this horse, and he's running for 20. He runs well at 16 on February 10th. Then he runs competitively for a half mile in a sprint at 20. Then he drops to 16, doesn't improve an inch. Then he drops to 12.5, is bent a little bit, and he still caves in just after the three-quarter mark. Now they drop him to 10 off some time. This horse is going the wrong direction. Okay, but he does really fit at 10. Now the problem you have as a handicapper is to pick the pace line for this horse. If you go back and pick the February 10th race, or do you go back and pick the last race? Now, in the last race, he was checked when he was stopping. So the beaten lengths might not be indicative of where he would have finished. Because if he was checked, maybe he should have been beaten five and a half lengths. But the last race is really the right one. Because as they drop,
And they drop and they drop. Don't keep going back and taking these races. You're always going to be behind the decline. Now, one thing that's certain in, or almost certain in here, I think it's fairly certain in here, is that he'll have the lead, won't he? Well, does Belize Equal really have as much speed as he's got, though? He's the one that would be pressing him, though. Belize Equal also has the same style. But he looks like he might be a little slower. I'm not sure. Stockton's a very fast racetrack, so that 111 and 4 is a little bit misleading. Pass Another Tab, he fits. He's a contender. He meets the guidelines. He's been off since March 23rd. But he's got a regular workout tab of 5 days, so it's a positive workout tab on this horse. 15, 20, 25, and 30. 30? Yes, he's got a very positive work. He's a definite contender in here. Now, he's against the bias, and again, 90% of these races so far have been won by horses that are not in the lead. In fact, it was 100%. Nobody had won on the lead. Just one horse had been contending for the lead, that's all. Yeah.
In a race like in this race, you have two horses that are early but don't fit the pattern, the ring style, the type of horses early. Do you put them both in and see if they'll see what your other sustained horses will do? I remember you talking about one.
You want them both.
And the reason you want them both in is you want to be able to pair those two up. Because the best thing that can happen to you, if you lock into one of these closers, is the best thing that can happen to you is to have what's the name of this horse? Bullides Equal and Pass Another Tab match up for the first half mile and even into the second fraction, the turn time fraction. Because if they'll do that, then that really sets it up on a closer's track, especially sets it up for your sustained horse. So you want them both in here. You want to look at both of them. Now, what about Haropo? Sure, he meets everything, right? He's even been over this racetrack. And his style is right, isn't it? And as far as his last race is concerned, one thing you don't normally like to see is you don't like to see a horse that gets all the way up and gets to the lead and then can't hang on to it. That's usually a sign of a lack of heart, and this horse seems to have it. But he also broke from the 10 post at a mile and 16th, which guarantees that he was struggling on the first turn. And so that's a little bit of an excuse. I mean, he fits. You don't want to see this kind of when they get there, you want to see him finish it. Pardon? He does. He's stuck outside again. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You're right. He's still outside. Whatever he did last time, you probably expect him to do again. Point is, you just don't want to see horses get up and fail when they catch the other horses. You don't want to see them stopping on 3 and 4 length leads. When they come from behind and get to the lead, you don't want to see them back out of it when they get it. Those are all negative. All right. What about Scalloway 2? Sure, if you're going to accept Jaropa, you got to accept him, don't you? They'll come out of the same race in which they were within a neck of one another. Tells you a little something about that race, though, doesn't it? The bold batter up race. When 90% of the time, when a lot of horses are on the wire together, on the dirt, anyway, it represents a poor race, a low figure. When a lot of horses, especially at this level, when a lot of $10,000 horses can get up and be in the photo, it's almost always a bad race when you look at the figure and the time and all the rest of it. That's almost universal. So where are we when we're finished with this? We have Bolides Equal. Oh, yes. Forgot. Dick said we had to turn the page. Khalil.
Well, I shouldn't have even turned the page. All right. I mean, can you reasonably make this horse a contender under normal circumstances? No. Look at his entire line. His entire chart. What's the closest he's ever been? 7 3/4, right? 7. What's the closest he's ever been at the 8th pole when they're all doing their running? 4.5. In 10 races, that's the closest he's ever been at the 8th pole. That's the stretch call. All right, so let's go back and summarize now. We have Bolides Equal. And Bolides Equal, remember, is not a bet. Am I right? Okay. We have Legal Tender. And Legal Tender is a betting possibility, right? Because it fits the style. All right.
NEAC. NEAC is a betting possibility also, isn't it? Yes. Who? Well, I would be, except that NEAC has won three times in his current charts. He came around, he looked the field five wide into a stretch in his last race and still almost got there. A weak race, and I am concerned about it, but what you'll wind up doing is when you analyze this race, put it into the computer, do anything you want with it, you'll find that his beaten lengths disqualify him as being one of your top horses anyway. Point is, can he win? Does he fit the bias? And yes, I am always concerned about the beaten lengths in the second call. I am concerned about it. But he is still a contender to win. Yeah, he does. In what respect? Okay, in terms of what model now? Are you talking about the model that we developed as a group? Yeah, okay, he is behind that, yes. Yes. But the point is that he's got enough going for him in this race. He's a closer. He wins races. He's won three times. He ran a big race last time around the field, and so if he would come up, you might, because you're not really doing, hang on a minute.
Answer this. See, because I don't want you to look at the model and become so religious with it. Let's see who's the furthest they've been behind.
Well, see, one horse has been eight behind at the second call. Okay, for a length and a half, I wouldn't argue with that if everything else is in place. If, on the other hand, you have two or three other sustained horses that fit tightly into the model we developed, those are all three on top of him. Okay. But your observation is right. I hate horses that are way behind at the second call habitually. Absolutely hate them. But remember, some horses do win, and this horse does win races. And I think I made that exception earlier when we talked about horses that habitually trail. But some horses do win, and you got to make exceptions. One last point there. How far are they going today? Mile and 3/16 here. So they're going a little bit further, and he's got a little more time to make his run. And I got to tell you, one other thing is that probably twice in the entire season will I make a bet on a horse like NEAC in his current form, coming that far behind. I just don't. But that doesn't change anything. He's definitely contender to win, and would he shock anybody if he won here? No, and that's really the basic issue here. Infinite Magic we threw away, right? Gray Rider we chose. Pass Another Tab we chose. But not to bet, I think. Jeropa we chose, and Scalloway. What do we wind up with? About six horses? Seven here. All right? And if I were to whittle that down a little further, I'd probably now side with you and eliminate NEAC, just because of where he comes from, or has been recently. Then that would be into a neatly compact. And of the seven, only five are serious contenders because two of them are in direct conflict with what 100% of the races that have been run so far. Because whichever one of those horses has the lead, it's an extreme negative for either one of them because no horse has done it yet.
Hey,
one of the considerations that you should make without overemphasizing it is always pay a little bit of attention not so much the earnings box on these horses, but the consistency box on some of them. And the reason for that is that one of the points that came up was NEAC. And NEAC does have a running style that I just detest. Except that look at NEAC's lifetime record. He's 6/32, so he does get the job done. Let's look at another horse in this race, two more horses. Let's look at Proto Always. He's the one horse. We threw him out, but just look at the record. What is his record? How many starts does he have? How many times has he won? How many times has he been second? How many times has he been third? Now that's a characteristic sign of a perennial hanger. That's a horse that sometimes gets up where you think he might win, and decides to settle for third and fourth. Pay attention to that. Don't overemphasize it, because you can't overemphasize it too much, because if you've got a horse with kind of a shaky record that has all been earned at a much higher level than you're looking at today, you've got to discount the fact that he wasn't able to beat the much better horses and look at him in a little different view. Look at the other page. Look at Khalil's record. Now, most of that record was earned against better horses, but I'll make a point on that. Look at his record. He's 50 in 50 starts. He's been first three times, second seven. That's not the kind of horse you like, because that says when the race, when it really gets tough, what does he do? He lets the other horse beat him, right? He's three wins, seven seconds. You want a preponderance of wins versus seconds and thirds. You don't want it the other way around. So he's 3 for 50. Now he earned those. He failed mostly at higher levels. But look at him now that he's moved down to these levels. 20, 16, 12, 5, 10, 10, 5, 12, 5. Has he changed his MO at all? No. He hasn't. So give preference to some of these horses that will get the job. Look at Arctic Actor, who scratched. Look at his lifetime record. 17 wins, one first, one second, one third. So what kind of probabilities are you playing with if you decide to bet Arctic, whatever his name was? On the other hand, look at Scallop, pardon? Look at Wonderplum. Where's Wonderplum's record? Where is it? Second horse. Well, he's consistent, isn't he? Yeah. All right, the last 2 years? 2 for 24, 4 seconds and 8/3. That's not pretty good. You're right. He's developed into a hanger also. His lifetime record's all right, because the first, seconds, or thirds are kind of distributed evenly, but his last 2 years have been poor. Now, one of the reasons, I mean, you can discount any trainer data you want, but the trainer is very important. Now, none of us are going to become trainer handicappers per se, but you ought to pay attention to what trainers can win and what trainers just flat can't. The trainers that just flat can't, you just flat can't bet them. The rest of them, just take them as they come. Otherwise that's a big burden. If you're going to carry trainer data around like this, in addition to pace figures and all the rest of it, that really demands a lot from you. But just find out the ones that can't win, that don't win. One of the problems with Wonderplum, a couple of years ago, he used to run for a fellow by the name of Jerry Hollendorfer up in Northern California. Jerry Hollendorfer is one of those trainers that manages to be 28 to 30% winners year in and year out. He's amazing. So what happens after Wonderplum gets claimed away and goes to other barns, right? That's an argument against some of these trainers. So pay attention. Find out the trainers that can't win. And the rest of them, just take them as they come. I mean, upgrade. If you know to upgrade guys like Bill Spahr, George Webb, some of these trainers that are really good with claiming horses and recent claims, then do that. Upgrade their horses a little bit. Don't go overboard on that. But do get rid of the ones that can't win. Don't win, won't win, all of those things. And in this race, well, there's a few in here, but we won't spend any time with them. One of them is a trainer, a Wonderplum. Okay, let's go to the third race. Coachette, who was scratched, is the drop positive or negative? Let me tell you what I was grateful for. I was grateful that he scratched, so we didn't have to deal with him here, because it's negative as hell. On the other hand, that was his first time after a layoff. They're going to drop him down. What happens, I would have bet against him. And one of the reasons I would have bet against him is that this big drop from 20 to 10, he was 4 to 1 at 20, so he should have run a lot better than he did. Now they drop him all the way to 10, Delahousie's still on. All of that adds up to a big underlay. Okay? And he's a consensus horse by 6 points. All of those are negatives. The fact that Delahousie's on him is a negative in as much as it drains the price. It's a positive in terms of the ability of the rider, but it's a negative in terms of it drains the price. I'm just glad fortunately we were able to duck this issue, so we didn't have to decide as a group in here. He was a negative. I would have bet against him all the time, but I'm not going to tell you he's always going to lose this race. But I always bet against him in this situation. Yeah. Okay.
and that's what I said here, is that he was 4-1 off the layoff. At 4-1, you expect some kind of performance. He came out in front, because I happened to be doing a seminar that day, and I did not like him at all. Did I get the winner of this, or did I not? Who was the end man? Yeah, I know he was scratched. And I had the winner as one of the choices in the double, all right? I did not have the winner on top. But Kochet, I didn't like at all that day. And the reason I didn't like him is that here's a horse that, you know, had gotten... Look how good he got. Look at the races he was running. He was just double tough, right? You don't decide off of a race where the horse is beating the neck unless something major goes wrong with him. You don't shelve him for 8 months.